Yep, ready, Pat.
Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Hey, Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 339, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Michael?
Doing great, Mr. Klinsman. Celtics are down 7 right now with about 3.5 left in the fourth quarter.
Ooh, that's not good. That was a big loss they had last week.
Oh, that was brutal.
With 0.5 seconds, right? And they just had a snafu on the defense, it sounds like. That's not good. They could have been up 3-0, and now Toronto has all the
momentum. Thing out. Now they got life, Bill. Now they got life.
That's what happens. I didn't realize they were playing tonight. I haven't been paying any attention to any sports, although I don't know, maybe we shouldn't talk about the NBA on this podcast.
Yeah, we don't want you to get in trouble again.
We don't want to upset anybody talking about the NBA.
That is correct. I'm watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Celtics. I just haven't watched any NBA. I love Kemba. I'm so glad he's on the Celtics.
I think the fact, the combination that you said that you were only watching golf really contributed to that.
You think so?
Too. Yeah, I think so.
Nothing to do with that. That's just the only sport. I didn't watch any golf today either, but
people took offense to that.
I guess so. Oh, well, live and learn, I suppose. How's everything else going for you, sir?
Oh, it's great.
That's good. I played 9 holes of golf today.
I know. I saw that. I'm mudding, and like, you were already done. I went on my USGA site because I follow you. Do you follow me?
No, I didn't know you could follow. I've looked you up before to see your scores, but...
Yeah, so if you look me up, right, you find me.
Oh, I can then favorite you or whatever?
To the right, there's a star. So if you hit that, it'll turn to a yellow star.
All right, I'm going to have to do that next time.
Yeah, so
do you get like alerts when I post a score and stuff?
No, I have to go in there. No. I'll tell you how you find it. I'll go in. Let me see.
No, I mean, I'm sure I can figure it out. I'm a bright little boy, but
go USGA.
Well, I go to the GIN website.
GIN website. They just go golf and look up.
Yeah. I've looked you up before, but I didn't know I could follow you.
Oh, yeah. We got Gary Aruda, 15.7. You shot.
Not bad, right? 15.
You shot 46 today.
That's not good.
Not at Rolling Greens. I got to assume Rolling Greens is not a...
My course handicap for 9 holes there was a 6, and I shot a 46, which is 11 over, so that's not good, according to that. 15.7 is not bad, though. I'm trending down.
Which is crazy. We must be playing easy courses because the scores you've been putting up, I would think that you would be down to an 11, but these got to be like pitch and putt courses.
They kind of are. I mean, Rolling Green, like... I hit a couple of good drives on the first hole. I hit a drive I had about 60 yards in and made par. And then the second hole, I had hit a drive I had about 60 yards in. I made a double. So I sculled one over the green under a tree. Couldn't chip out, you know. So it's one of those where if you hit a decent drive, you have nothing in. But, I mean, I hit it okay off the tee, but I lost a couple. I hit one left, and I had to, like, chip out, and then my chip out got lost. You know how that goes. That's always fun when you try to just, like, play it safe, and you blast it through the fairway on the other side.
You didn't lose it at all, huh?
No, I didn't lose it. I don't get mad. I can't. It doesn't do me any good.
Who do you play? Who'd you play with? You said Guido from Johnston?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, though, because when I sent you that message, I was on the first tee, and he's like, hey, I'm Rocco. And he's like, oh, where are you
did
from?
Did you kind of chuckle?
Or Rocky or whatever, and I was laughing. I'm like, yeah, okay, here we go.
And you're like, was he total, like, just swinging for the fences? And
yeah, and then, like, on the first
hole, baseball grip.
It's this guy and his other buddy, and we joined up with them because they told us we were playing with them. So we just went up and played. And we're in the middle of the fairway on the first hole, Rocco lost his ball out to the right. He's looking for it. The other guy comes up. He's like, oh, we're actually playing a match. So he's going to go back and re-tee because it's out of bounds.
You're kidding.
And he goes, you guys could go ahead. We'll catch up to you. And then we just played as a twosome, and they played as a twosome behind us.
You got to be kidding me.
So it's like, okay, you could have just said if you didn't want to play with us. That would have been fine.
We're playing a match, and we have to retool.
Yeah, we're playing a match. He hit it OB. He has to re-tee. He's going to go back up and hit it again off the tee. I'm like, all right, well, do whatever you want. I don't care. I told my dad later, I think they were just intimidated because I bombed my drive on one.
Just smoked it, huh?
I smoked it down there. But anyway, how about you? How's your golf game going?
I had a rare occurrence. I went 42-46 yesterday at Lakewood National.
That's not too bad.
And I had a ball striking day. Listen to these stats, Bill. Because what's my biggest struggle? Keeping it in play.
You don't hit fairways.
I hit 8 of 12.
Ooh, that's nice.
I hit 8 of 12 and 6 of 18 greens.
How is there only 12 holes? There's 6 par 3s out there? Must be 8 of 14 or something.
No, it was 8 of 12. Maybe I didn't There is 3 threes on the front.
Oh, maybe there
but
is.
There's not 3 on the back, so I must have missed one. How did I only hit 8 out of 12?
So maybe 8 out of 13 or something.
8 out of 13.
Still, that's very good.
6 of 18 greens.
That's very good.
That's very good. You'll hit 1 and 3, won't you? I mean, you'd be happy with 1 and 3.
Oh, yeah. 6 greens is good. 6 putts at birdie. Because that's basically, you know, that's 5 pars guaranteed. You're not going to 3 putt all those, you know. You're going to make at least 5 pars out of 6.
Which is what I did. I made 5 pars.
Yeah, so you had 1-3 wiggle. That happens. That's good, though. That's a good ball striking day. No lost balls.
Yeah, 2.
Oh, that's tough. That's what kills you. I feel like.
Yeah, the lost balls kill you.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened to me today.
But, I mean, you have 5 or 6 lost balls. That's 5 or 6 strokes, obviously.
Yeah, because I had to take 3 strokes on 9 holes because I couldn't find them. And they were just, like, in the woods, and I just couldn't find them. One on the 9th hole, I hit a decent drive, and I couldn't find it. I just dropped one and then hit it over the green and flubbed a chip, and then now I'm at a 7, you know.
I topped one on 2 in the drive. I just kind of tossed the driver. The driver went further than the drive. So my ball's
not one of the fairways hit?
No, my ball's sitting on the ladies' tee. So I do that. I don't care. I take out the 3 hybrid.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely annihilate it. Like
almost
in front
while
of the
you're
green.
Walking, you don't even take a stop to hit it. You just like walk it.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I hit it in front of the green. I think I chipped up and I made bogey. And I got, oh, that's a hell of a bogey. I'm like, yeah. And then I started. And then I got it going.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It was the old, you swing and you just pick up the tee. Because, you know, it's just, and they were down the middle. They weren't right or left fairway. They were blistered down the middle. I get like that every once in a while where I have complete confidence in my drives.
Yeah. Did you figure something out or it was just random?
I think I did, but then I'll probably go out and play tomorrow and I'll forget what I figured out.
Yeah. Are you playing tomorrow?
I might just take the push cart and go out. Yeah. You've got the itch. You're bad.
I could play every day. I could play every day right now. The weather right now is so nice to play too up here. It was like, got to the high 70s today. Beautiful golf weather. I'd rather it be a little warmer, but still. Cannot complain. I was very excited to get out there.
How did you put this together?
I just, I just called Rolling Greens last night and I was like, you have any tee times? So we have a 7:40. I was like, all right, I'll put down for 2. And then I called my dad and then I told Sarah, I said, oh, I have a tee time at 7:40 tomorrow morning.
What Frank said, all right, I'll meet you over there.
Yeah, I picked him up at his house.
Oh, you picked him up?
Yeah. But he asked if I wanted to play, and I said, I'll see if I can get any tee times, but I don't know. I would have played 18, but it's only a 9-hole course, and you come around, and there was like 2 groups waiting on the tee, and the group in front of us was waiting as well. So there was like 3 groups, and I was like, I'm not waiting a half hour just to tee off to have a
just
slow
to go back out.
Back 9. Yeah, so we just
what did you pay?
He bought a punch card there. 11 rounds for $175 is the punch card. And then you just pay for cart. So it was like $10 for the cart.
Is it just at Rolling Greens?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah, so just for there. But
is that a nice course?
It's actually in really good shape. It's short, but it's a decent layout and the greens are fantastic there. Really nice. You know, it's it there's a couple decent holes. There's a par five that's nice. The ninth hole is really good, but the rest of the par fours are pretty short. And then the par threes, one of them is like 140 from the whites, and the other one's like 170 from the whites. So it's decent,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you only hit, for me, I'm hitting like driver chip, driver wedge, you know, then it's the par three, then it's the par five. The next two holes are driver chips, and then the par three is eight is a good par three, and then nine's a really good par four. I had like 170 in after my drive, so it's like a 440 par four, but it's short.
To do any golf shots?
I didn't have any golf shots to do.
No, to your old man.
He didn't have any either. He had a couple good shots. Yeah. I used my 72 degree magic. That thing's just taken. I have it. I have 15 clubs in the bag, so it's not regulation, Bill. I hope no one will call the USGA on me. But
no, I think you're all right.
I only hit it out of traps now. That's like my sand trap club.
You don't hit it from the deck?
I haven't figured it out yet. I can't figure the thing out. You have anything else you want to add here? Should I get into my unofficial beer sponsor?
Let's get into your unofficial beer sponsor of the week, Mr.
So this is from Rogue. This is the Dead Guy Ale. Look at that guy on there.
Yeah. Scary.
Yes, very scary. Dead Guy Ale is a Maybach style ale with a robust malt profile and a sweetness that is balanced by the liberal use of bittering hops. This one says it goes well with grilled asparagus, barbecue ribs, or pecan pie. It is
a combo, huh?
Yeah. Well, you would need all three. It's like those are the things it would go good with. 6.8% alcohol by volume. This is Rogue is out of Portland, Oregon, I believe. I don't see it on the can anywhere. Newport, Oregon. So basically the Portland area. So this is a Dead Guy Ale. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. This is good. It says on here that it has like a toffee and malty flavor, which is what I like. But it's not thick like a porter. So it's a nice late summer, early fall beer. One sip. Everybody knows the rules. I'm going to give it a 6.66 because it's a dead guy. You know, you get like the devil number, 6.66.
You think there's any pun intended with the Dead Guy Ale out of Portland, Oregon?
Maybe. I'm not sure. Could be. This is a old school beer. Like, it's been around for a while. So that's what I would say to that. Is there anything else you want to add here? Or should we take our first break?
Let's take our first break, Billy.
All right. We will be right back.
Sounds good.
Wrapped around each other, trying so hard to stay warm. That first cold winter together, lying in each other's arms, watching those old movies, falling in love so desperately. Honey, I was your hero, and you were my leading lady. We had it all.
All right, episode number 339, and we are back from break with the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. If that break music sounds familiar, it's because I forgot to redo the break music for this week's episode, so I apologize for that, but we are on episode 339. And this week, we're going to talk a little bit of Walt Disney World news. We haven't done that in a little while. We've been trying to sprinkle a news episode in every here and there, especially nowadays with so many things going on. But there's been a few things in the news that I felt like we should touch on. There was one big item that we definitely want to save, and then a few small things. Anything else besides what I sent you that's on the top of your mind about the news or anything else Disney-wise that you want to touch on this week?
No.
No, okay, that's a negative. I am going to start.
All right, sorry about that, Billy.
With the hours, the big the hours story. So this says that Disney has extended its shortened park hours through late November. So as we touched upon it a couple weeks ago, that Disney cut back their hours a lot. Not surprising, but I guess the only thing I'm surprised at is how much they're all the same. Like, you would think maybe they would stagger them. Like, have Epcot open at 3 o'clock and stay open till 9. You know what I mean? Or open at 1 o'clock or something. As opposed to having them all open early and close early. Why not have one park open late, but it stays open later? You know what I mean?
That seems shut like it all down, Billy, and then you got all the transportation. You let transportation
no,
shut
I
it
understand.
Down at 5?
Yeah, I guess that's true. So, speaking of 5 o'clock, basically, Magic Kingdom is basically open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's not very long, is it?
No, you didn't see what I did earlier. You'll see it when we...
Okay. When I go back, Josh. Are you making faces at me, Bill?
No, I did something.
Oh, did you have to like make some room for something?
Yeah, I made a noise.
Epcot's open 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., so just 8 hours there. Hollywood Studios, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Animal Kingdom, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Going back to the old days.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not even just for Animal Kingdom, 9 to 5, that's what it used to be. Mm-hmm. But Magic Kingdom only being open till 6 o'clock is crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not even dark.
It'll be a good day to go to Downtown Disney Pods.
I guess so.
Go over to Downtown Disney and eat Earl of Sandwich Pods.
Earl of Melnick. I can't... I understand. I mean, obviously, they don't have... There's not issues with people getting stuff done because there's no one in the parks. Like you said... You saw somebody say you could do all of Magic Kingdom in 5 hours, basically?
Yeah, that's what I saw. Watch the YouTube, I think, on that.
So, I mean, if that's all you need, if you can go around and get everything done in a few hours at each park, I guess you don't need everybody. Is that the Jayhawks?
Little Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Rock Chalk right Jayhawk.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Very nice, with the Budweiser light.
Yep.
I assume.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the hours being... Does that bother you? Because you're not a... When you go to the parks, you're not necessarily an early guy. So would you rather have them be open later or usually done by 5-6 o'clock anyway?
I mean, we usually do day trips as it is, so we don't stay till close. We never stay till close unless we're staying up there.
That's true. That's a good point. So you would get up there around 10 o'clock and leave at 5 or 6 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really affect you too much. I mean, the Epcot one, open at 11 to 7. I mean, 7 o'clock seems so early to me. I guess if it's mostly locals, there's not a lot of people vacationing down there right now, I suppose.
Right.
So if it's mostly locals, it doesn't really matter. People vacationing, though, I mean, what do you do the rest of the day? I guess you go eat dinner at your hotel and hang out by the pool until the pool's closed.
People who vacation are out of their minds, aren't they?
Yeah, you're paying the same rates, right? You're not getting any discount. I mean, the hotel rooms are cheaper, but the park? The park tickets are the same, aren't they?
Yeah.
No discount on the parks. I mean, I guess you're getting everything done is the only advantage of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, like but you said, you know,
spend
for
a lot
us,
of time not, at Disney Springs.
It's not about getting stuff done. It's about it being open and be able to walk around.
Yeah, I love
then
that.
Then go grab something at Food and Wine. You like to get like a little bite and a beverage and just walk around and shoot the breeze, right?
Oh, remember how much fun we had at the end of the day at Animal Kingdom with the four of us just going around drinking a few beers?
We didn't go on any attraction from like 3 o'clock on.
No, we might have done Everest once or something like that after we had a couple beers. But either way, like we were just walking around having a good time. It was night. Like if it closed at 5, we wouldn't even have started doing that nonsense.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It just stinks. It's just the whole thing. Just another reminder. And then, you know, obviously they don't anticipate any bounce back anytime soon if it's already through the end of November into Christmas season for them.
If you look at the calendar, it's dead.
Oh, like availability for APs and stuff? Yeah.
Well, so you're another indication is that they're letting cast members. I was talking to a mutual friend, and they were blocked out into November.
And they changed that now?
Now they're available to go now.
Interesting. So, yeah, that is an indicator. I guess they reduced the capacity. Obviously, they had to do that for getting the go-ahead to reopen, but sounds like they wouldn't even really have to at this point. People aren't ready to go back for the most part.
I heard Governor DeSantis had a little roundtable with Disney and
Universal
execs, saying that they've done such a great job, and he's probably looking at even increasing capacity. But I don't think that's really an issue right now.
Yeah, I was going to say you could increase. Okay, so it goes from 25% to 50%. But if they're not even hitting the 25%, just because he allows it, doesn't mean they're going to have more.
Right. Correct.
More people show up. You know, they might if they lowered the price of the tickets, but at that point, why bother for them? I don't know. I don't know what the break-even point is for them to, like, bring more people in at a lower price or whatnot. You assume the people coming through the doors are spending money there, having some food and things like that, but you don't know. People that are going to go because it's cheaper may not be as willing to go to the restaurants and buy stuff in the gift shops, you know, if they're just trying to do it on the cheap. Take advantage of a discount. I don't know. Anything else you want to add on the schedule here? Or you want to move on to the next topic?
We can move on.
All right. These are kind of combined here. So this came out last week, but apparently a few more booths have opened up at the Food and Wine Festival since we last talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Food and Wine.
Well, it's newsworthy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's an Alps booth that has opened up, and that one has some warm raclette Swiss cheese with ham, potatoes, and a baguette. And the other one is just the potatoes. So one's $5.50 and one's $4.50. Without the ham, it's a dollar less. And then there's a blueberry and almond frangipane tart for $4.50.
Larry's pulling ham out of his pocket. It's a little public.
Can I get a quarter pound of ham, please? Going to Epcot.
I want to save a dollar on the raclette.
Save a dollar.
But the Alps booth, and then look at this one. We talked about it with Schaefer. Spain is open. The Spain booth has reopened. However, with some significant menu changes, there's only two items on the menu. There is the charcuterie in a cone, which that's a good one. Although it's not in a cone,
a little plastic cup, right?
Yeah. So basically the same stuff. It's got the olives and the Spanish meats and everything and the cheeses, and then the paella, which is fantastic. Unfortunately, that seafood salad's not there.
And that seafood salad's probably my favorite.
That was your favorite day. But those both are very good.
All three are fantastic.
Right, but the two food that remained are good.
Best booth in the festival.
Yes. And that, oh, man, that picture. Do you have that picture up?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
That those cheeses just covered in that, like, dressing that's in there. That's so good. That paella was good, too. And then that Block and Hans one in America Open. That's just beers. I didn't know that even wasn't open, but I guess that reopened. And on top of that, it looks like there's going to be three more that will be opening soon, including the Flavors from Fire, which is Schaefer's favorite. The Donut Box. Remember that thing? We rope dropped that last year when we were there.
That's up by Test Track, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the Cool Wash, which is the other one right over there by Test Track. So those aren't, I mean, I guess they are festival booths, but supposedly they're in the process of getting up and running. So I'm surprised they're going forward with opening more booths, considering that there's not more people coming, and it doesn't seem like people are going out of their way to go to the Food and Wine Festival. You don't really see much about it. Everyone that you see going to the park seems like they're just trying to do the Star Wars stuff with lower weights, which is basically what your plan is, right?
Yeah, I'm going a week from Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So that's
yes, sir.
Is that the 14th?
Yes, sir.
Or the 15th or whatever it is? Are you excited about that?
Yeah, but I don't know how to use that system, so
you're gonna get screwed. Yeah, you're not.
I'm gonna be that clown. Who, excuse me. How do you get in? Oh darn it, I didn't get in.
I mean, based on what Zach told us, you have no chance.
I got no chance. You know what? That's fine. I'll just go to Hollywood Brown Derby.
Yeah, sit there
and eat for a couple hours, and then probably just go home
and then leave. All right, that was because you can't even go to another park, right?
No, you can't park up. No.
So if you get locked out of the Star Wars thing, you're stuck.
I'll do a few things.
Well, I know you'll do a couple things, but you could check out the new Mickey thing, see how bad it actually is.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that.
You got to check that out, because if he said it was bad, and he's more of a cheerleader than you're going to absolutely hate it. Way bigger
cheerleader than I am.
You're going to hate it. Yeah, maybe you'll love it. Who knows? You'll go be like, Bill, it's the best thing I've ever seen.
You'll die if I say that, won't you?
I love it. I went on it 7 times. What happened to you? Did you hit your head on the way?
You'd do it, though, wouldn't you?
I would do it, certainly. I want to see what it is. I want to see what it's all about, even though Zach said it's terrible. I don't really trust him that much. What do we know about Zach? Yeah, you trust his opinion?
He lost us a listener. He was the one that started that whole thing, didn't he?
Did you ever reach out to Zach on that and mention it?
Uh-huh.
Did you? What did he say?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, you cost us a listener. He goes, what happened? I told him.
That's funny. We won't get into that too much.
Dude, play it again. Oh, it's so stupid.
That is dumb. So I really hope you get on the main one, but you could do the other one, right? You don't have to like make a reservation for the other Star Wars true, ride.
Yeah.
And you haven't even stepped foot in the land there, have you?
Star Wars, I did. I did a live one time.
Oh, that's right. You walked.
You don't
there.
Pay attention to any of. You know what I was thinking media. Though, that's
because
awful.
Because when Doug and Sue went, I know they went live in there, and I think I was getting them confused or mixing them together in my head because they had theirs, and then I remember you did yours. Well, I guess that being said, unless you want to talk more about your big Hollywood Studios trip.
I think we might. I think there's an opening to Epcot on Monday. We're thinking about going to Epcot, too, this Monday.
Like Labor Day?
Labor Day, yeah.
That wouldn't be bad.
I haven't decided where we want to eat yet. That's the only thing that's open.
Yeah, I mean, you get there at 11, you could go for breakfast before. That doesn't even open till. I mean, if Epcot, you can't even get in till 11.
Oh, you're right? Saying we should go and maybe do
Compass ahead of time or something?
What's that?
Go to Ale and Compass for breakfast and then go right into Epcot?
They don't have. Yeah, you know what? They just opened Ale and Compass. I was on their menu. They don't do the buffet.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that. They don't even like give an option and bring it to the table or anything.
No, they just have like 4 entrees.
That stinks. That's so good. I mean, I get it. They're not going to have buffets right now. That makes sense, but. Just to
how about Garden Grill?
Garden Grill, is that that's all you can eat? That's open.
Let's see what
for lunch, because obviously you can't have breakfast. It doesn't open till 11. The park doesn't open till 11.
I wonder if it's like if you can get in early.
Get in early for breakfast.
Huh. Let's see. Let's take a look here, Pods. Breakfast.
That would be good.
On 9/7/2020, what do we have here? The Wave, Ale and Compass, Trattoria Forno, Olivia's, Topolino's, Chef Mickey's. Nope, they do not have as an option.
You could go to Topolino at the Riviera. That's expensive.
No. No, because you're getting killed. You're paying $42 for
that. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's too expensive.
And you're not getting Jack at that place.
No, that's not a great meal.
See what they got at 11.
I mean, Olivia's would be good.
Yeah, then I got to take a bus, though, from...
Well, you could drive. Drive from Olivia. Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. Probably not much, I wouldn't think.
No, there's not much, Billy.
Limited seating. They don't have... I mean, the capacity's lower at the restaurants. Garden Grill. Would it be worth it for lunch, though? I mean, the breakfast seems like it's more appealing there. I feel like that's, like, too much for lunch, like, when you first get there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, too heavy.
They got Coral Reef, Spice Road, Garden Grill.
Le Cellier?
Yeah, they do have Le Cellier.
That wouldn't be bad. I don't know. I mean, there's good restaurants. Oh, you know what you could do? Yeah, you don't want to spend $400 or whatever. That new Japan restaurant, the fancy one. That would be cool. Dude.
I don't even see that one. They might only do dinner there. She doesn't want to stay late. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Tutto Italia at 3:30.
Early dinner.
Viennapoli. Yeah, there's a lot of options.
There are options. Yeah, so I guess you could have... I was thinking like off-property. Well, not off-property, but a resort breakfast. But most of the options that you really like aren't even open. Kona's not open.
Grand Floridian is.
Yeah, that's true. The cafe, that would be good. Well, speaking of Kona and the Polynesian, actually, it came out kind of out of nowhere that they were closing the Poly for like the rest of the year into 2021. That came out of the blue, didn't it?
Hell of a segue, Billy. Hell of a segue.
You like that?
That was fantastic.
I'm professional, sir. So they came out of with some news about a week ago, and they said the Poly... Like, people found that they weren't taking any reservations until spring of 2021 at the Poly. Originally, that was slated to reopen in, what, early November?
Yeah, and I think they had reservations up till then.
Yeah. And then now they just pushed it back, and then word comes out not long after, which I know you were excited to hear this news, is that they're going to retheme the Polynesian to a Moana-inspired design, which I know that's one of your favorite movies, Moana. You like that one, don't you?
She's my favorite princess.
I actually like that movie. The girls watch it a lot, and it's good. It's got good music. It's very visually pleasing, but I don't want them to mess with the Poly. I didn't think it needed a refurb, to be honest.
They just did the lobby.
Didn't they just do it? I was going to say the lobby's fantastic. You don't have to touch that. If they're going to redo the rooms and add like little touches here and there, I don't have a problem, but I don't trust them enough to do it subtly. Like if they just wanted to do these like little subtle touches, like, you know, when like you were talking about at Vero Beach, where you see like a little Mickey in the carpet here and there, if they wanted to do little subtle touches like that, Moana inspired in the Polynesian, like you wouldn't, because you wouldn't notice it. And people that are looking for it would appreciate it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if they're going to have stupid characters and things like that, like, slapping you over the head when you walk in, then it's going to ruin the place. I like your quote that you said. It's going to be the first. It's going to be like Pop Century Deluxe, basically.
It's going to have like the big statues all over the place. Yeah,
they're going to ruin
it. I get irritated, don't I?
I mean, it's fair because their track record of late has not been great on this kind of stuff, has it?
No,
I mean they ruin everything. So let's see what they're talking about here.
They ruined everything.
Well, they haven't done really anything. I mean, we're so miserable that something like Star Wars, which is basically universally praised, we still hate that too. That the fact that they put that in there, it seems like it's shoehorned and doesn't make sense, right? I mean, it seems dumb to me, but whatever. The resorts are seeing some big changes. The hotel will be closed until summer of 2021. Disney World spokesperson has confirmed that the Great Ceremonial House and guest rooms will be decorated into a Moana theme. More Pacific Ocean-inspired color palettes will be used throughout the resort, as well as details, patterns, and textures from the film. Since Moana happens on the Polynesian island of Motunui, we think it's about time our favorite Disney princess gets some more time to shine, Bill. Don't you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's about time, too. The villa and bungalows will remain open during this retheme. And, of course, the cheerleader website I'm reading off says, we already know we're going to love all the Moana stuff that comes to the Disney Polynesian Resort. And you could totally expect we'll take you with us to explore the details when the resort opens next summer. Like, they can't even leave the possibility that it will be bad. It's already like, it's going to be great. How could they mess it up? I mean, if there's more princesses in the rooms, I mean, what grown adult couple wouldn't love to have like princesses and giant talking crabs and things like that just like hitting you over the head?
Don't you love those cheerleaders though?
It just makes you laugh. Did you see the screenshot?
It's so dumb.
Did you see the screenshot from the other guy that I sent the group chat? It was just perfect. Like, it was basically the same thing. It's like, well, just wait and see. That, you know, they said like just touches, just like you said, like Meisner's. just touches from Beauty and the Beast, and they ruined that place in an instant, didn't they?
They annihilated that place. They killed that.
No one even talks about it either. I know it's bad timing. It kind of reopened not long before everything with COVID hit, but
I mean the best part of that resort is the Grand Floridian Orchestra.
The lobby and everything. Yeah.
They threw those guys in the janitor's closet.
Like on it, that's the definition of unintended consequences, isn't it?
What, throwing the janitor's closet?
Yeah, we'll just move them off to the side. It won't make a difference, but it makes a huge difference. I mean, you don't see it. It was a centerpiece.
It was a focal point of that whole damn lobby.
When you walk in, you just heard it and could see it. Now they're just like, because even the difference is like when you walk in and the piano player is going, you can hear it and appreciate it, but you don't see him. You don't notice the piano player right away,
right?
Unless you're looking for it. But with the orchestra, I mean, it's hard to miss the orchestra when they're up on the second floor overlooking the whole lobby. No matter where you come, if you come in off the monorail or from the ground floor, you can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're just in a corner somewhere. Sad. Isn't that so sad they did that?
It's ridiculous because that thing was just, it was pure. It was just so pure. It's like redoing a Donald Ross.
Right, you're making it a mini golf course.
Yeah, and just putting like
a windmill.
Yeah.
Not even that. I mean, it's not that they changed the course because, you know, sometimes there's, if they had changed Meisner's and closed that gift shop next to it and just made it a bigger bar, like they could have still had the orchestra there. They could have rethemed it to Beauty and the Beast if that's what they wanted to do. They could have left the orchestra there. I don't understand that whole part. I mean, that, like you said, that just makes you sad.
Because I think the next stop is out the door.
Oh, of course.
And that's how they do things.
I mean, were they going to pay these 14 guys X amount of money? You know, how much could that save them? I mean, it's pennies on the dollar to them, but it's still a line item they can cross off. Doesn't add anything. Is anyone else going to stay or not stay at this resort because of this?
Especially their new CEO. He's a complete buffoon. Don't you think Chapek's a clown?
Oh, Chapek's a goof. He's just like Mr. Crosscutter, isn't he?
Yeah.
He makes Iger look like Eisner, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he makes Iger look like the good guy. Yeah. And this guy's like the new villain, exactly.
And that's hard to do because we were not big fans of Iger.
No, but this new guy, he's a complete buffoon. I mean, just a clown.
Unbelievable.
And he's like just that corporate guy, you know, like when you in corporate and they feed you a line of BS. And then you got to agree, Gary, this is going to be real. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, this is going to be good. Like you're just out of college and you really need that paycheck. Oh, yeah, this is the best thing I've ever heard. And you go home, you're like, what the hell are they doing? That's how he is. Oh, this is going to be great. Yes, sir.
He's got like all that speak. Oh, synergy.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to streamline the process. That's just all, you know, code words for cutting costs and getting rid of like the experience that people like about it. It's all about the bottom line.
Like there's nothing like sitting outside of France and watching those street performers.
Right. They'll be gone soon enough. They won't bring, like, that's the thing. Like this, the COVID thing is just going to give them an excuse to just clean house on all those people.
You didn't miss it, did you?
Yeah. We're not bringing them back. Bringing back all these. They were already going along and cutting people. They got rid of the drummers in Japan already. They got rid of this, got rid of that. It's like, we're not going to bring these people back. What are you, crazy? We can do another princess meet and greet there instead. You know, they already changed Impressions to France half the time as a sing-along to Beauty and the Beast. You know, it's so dumb. Like, some of the stuff they do. Why do we like this place, Bill? Do you wonder that sometimes?
Yes.
Like, you're talking about going there in 2 days, and you're all excited about it. And it's like, and I'm looking forward to the next time I go. I still love it, but it's like, I don't know. Like, it's almost like you'd rather listen to sports radio when your team is losing. You like to hear them bash it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I never liked listening to the sports radio station when the Red Sox were playing good. I always listen after a loss to see how they could, like, hammer the coach or the bullpen or whatever. It's not fun to listen when you're winning. It's not, I mean, if you loved everything about it, if we didn't have things to talk about, I don't think we'd talk about, we wouldn't have a show, you know? Part of our show is to talk about what we don't like as much as we like stuff there.
Yeah, but we mainly talk, we mainly talk about what they do well, and that's resorts and food and beverage.
Yeah, but that's slowly slipping away, isn't it? With the changes at the resorts and the bars and things like that. And again, like these menus that they just pared down because of coronavirus. Do you think all stuff's just going to magically pop back?
You think they're just going to have
say, oh, we saved about 4% on margin by having a reduced menu. We have four items. We didn't lose any, you know, overall business, the percentage, and, you know, tips were still up and all this stuff. You know, they crunch all those numbers. You think that onion soup's going to automatically come back to the Grand Floridian Cafe?
You think that thing's long gone?
I mean, I don't know. Would you be totally shocked if they just keep some of these reduced menus or use it as an excuse to streamline the menus and have more menus be the same?
Probably not.
You know, it's like at the bars, even like every bar you go to has the same five drinks. They may have one unique drink at each bar. All the restaurants are going to have the same stuff. You can get your chicken, you can get your pasta, you can get your steak, and that's it, or get the hell out. You know what I mean? Nothing unique. Everything's going to be homogenized over there. And they were starting to like turn the corner. I felt like starting to like throw a little breadcrumbs to the nerds like us, the Diz people. The real, you know, the podcast listeners, the vloggers, the people who follow all those people who are obsessed with it. But now I feel like they're just like, we have you. You guys are suckers. We need to appeal to the masses. We need to make it more plain, more palatable for the general public. And I think they're going to use this as an excuse, Bill. I really do.
So what you're saying is that COVID is the best, maybe potentially the best thing that ever happened.
I'm not going to be that cynical and say that. I'm going to say that they're going to be able to use it as a crutch to do things that they may have been afraid to do before, cost-cutting things. Because now if they say it, they say, well, we can't bring back all the international performers because, you know, we lost $7 billion in revenue due to COVID. So that's getting cut. All the live entertainment at Hollywood Studios, we can't bring them back. All these menu options, it costs too much money. We have to just streamline our menus, this and this and this, the transportation, blah, blah, blah. Everything that they're going to cut, maybe things that they were thinking about doing or trying to find a way to do, now they have a written in excuse to do it.
However, we're only going to increase annual passes by 7% this year.
Oh, that's nice, isn't that? And reduce the hours by how much? You know, they reduce the hours by, 35% maybe? If you look at that, an average of 3 or 4 hours each park, I would say, per day. That's a pretty big decrease in inventory availability, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm still, even today, I had a discussion about going for next year for the 50th anniversary. All of that is lost. The 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World is next year. That was going to be like their big thing, all these new things opening. And that's all, no one's even talking about it because they don't even know if they'll be at operational capacity by that point. Because I don't know. What are they going to, when does the switch get flipped where they say it's okay to do stuff again? You know what I mean? When are people going to feel comfortable doing stuff again? When are states going to not restrict your travel and make you quarantine for 2 weeks when you get back? Things like that. It's just there's so much up in the air, and I don't know. Like, I keep thinking, you know, 2021 will be back to normal, but there's still no guarantee of that, is there, at this point?
Not where you guys live. You're banning the entire country up there.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I just saw like, okay, they're going to let Utah now come into Massachusetts. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, a lot of people from Utah.
No desire to go to begin with.
A lot of people from Utah dying to get into Massachusetts.
I know, aren't they?
It's the other way that's the worst, though. Like, if I wanted to go to Florida right now and take a vacation, I could not go back to work. I'd have to stay home for 2 weeks and not get paid.
Or get tested,
yeah.
Yep.
But they tell you that, like, in my, like, company's HR, they're like, well, if you go to a state that has restrictions from your state and you come back, you either have to get tested when you come back or, you know, quarantine for 2 weeks with no pay. Which I understand that they shouldn't have to pay you to, you know, if you go on vacation to quarantine when you get back. But it's like, you could just let me come back to work, I suppose. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, testing is more available now, where you could basically get it whenever you want, if you want to.
Right.
Like at the beginning, you had to be like on your deathbed to get tested.
Yeah, right.
Seemed like. And now it's, I could probably go out tomorrow and get tested if I wanted to.
I mean, they have them now at tests at Walgreens.
CVS had them for a while. Yeah. CVS was doing them up here initially. But I don't know. Anyway, all this is to say I'm not thrilled about the potential mess up that they could do at the Moana retheme at the Polynesian.
I mean, what could go wrong?
What could go right? That's my problem. That's what most people say. Oh, it's going to be subtle. It's going to be this. It's like you put the foot in the door. You let them get in just a little bit. It's like, well, why don't we just do this to the lobby? Why don't we take this out and add this? Why don't we change Kona Cafe to a character meet and greet spot instead? It's like you just give them. It's like a slippery slope. These little things that you let happen, and then all of a sudden you look at it and say, where did my Polynesian go?
Mm-hmm.
That's a gem. I mean, it's quintessential. Opening day.
1971.
I mean, they've obviously updated. The rooms should be updated on a regular basis.
But it still has that old feel.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel outdated, but it feels like almost like historic old, like it's been there. Like it's part of the landscape there. Just feels like it fits. And, you know, I'm sure they'll do, it won't be bad. Like, I don't think they're going to make it undesirable. People will still want to go, but it probably isn't going to be desirable for us. And I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they do these subtle little touches and they just do some little updates and the rooms are fantastic and the lobby's fantastic and there's just little things that you and I don't really notice, or if we do notice, it's not a big in-your-face thing. And I hope we come back in a year from now and say we were wrong. They did a good job.
You like the Polynesian, don't you?
I love the Polynesian. I know you're not as big of a fan, like, of staying there necessarily, because you don't get, like, the really signature restaurant at a deluxe that you do at all the other ones. But I think that lobby, and I just love the feel of being in that lobby or hanging out at the bar upstairs, up there, Tambu Lounge, is it?
Yeah.
I love it there. I do like that resort. Getting a Dole Whip out on the patio if you leave the lobby. Like, you can't beat it, some of that stuff. I just hope they don't ruin it. I really don't. I really hope we can come back in a year and say, you know what, they did this right. They may have said they were going to do this, but they did it subtly, and they did a good job. But what would you give the chances? I'm going to say like 80-20 they mess it up.
I was going to say 20% chance that
we're 20% wrong. Chance we're wrong. So hopefully the 20% hits. I hope the underdog wins. I don't have anything else to add. How about you?
No. All we right. can go to break, Billy.
We'll take another break.
We Sounds will good. Billy.
Right back. Is that the greatest instrumental song of all time? I mean, it has to be up there. What do you think?
Yes, I love that. That's my favorite instrumental.
Now, does Chuck Mangione have any other hits? Or is he like a one-hit instrumental?
No, I think he might have another one.
Does he really? I might have to look into his catalog this evening.
Charlie.
Go down the rabbit hole. Charlie Mangione.
Charlie.
Charles
Mangione. Just like that. What was the name of that street I sent you? Dick Road?
Richard Road.
Did you laugh when you saw that?
I mean, it's so stupid, but it's hard not to laugh. Yeah. It's hard not to laugh.
I mean, when you see a picture come through our group, you just know it's going to be ridiculous, yeah, right?
There's a chance it's a screenshot of something or it's just something stupid. And it, I mean, it comes in 90% of the time. It makes me laugh. Anyway, this is episode number 339 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. We're just wrapping up. We talked some Walt Disney World news this week. Anything else that you would like to add here about Chuck Mangione or otherwise?
Richard Boulevard.
Richard Boulevard. I won't say some of the other ones we came up
with. I think we're going back to Vero next month.
Are you really?
Yeah, got another good deal.
Yeah, you're back, baby. What's the threshold for a like on property DVC? Like, where do you have to be to convince Susie?
Oh, nowhere. She would go.
Like, if you got an AKL like Savannah view for like $210 a night, would you?
Yeah.
Be there?
Oh yeah, yeah. We were gonna go actually this weekend, but my pet sitter was going away.
Oh, what'd you find available this weekend? Or did you ask first before you looked into it?
No, I looked into it first. I found a swan. Mm-hmm. For $124.
Oh,
isn't that ridiculous?
That's like pop level, right?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
That's low pop. Pop's like $149 most of the time.
Oh God, yeah.
That's just regular. Has nothing to do with like booking points or anything. You just found that on like Expedia or something. Yeah.
Hotels.com.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's outrageous. You love that place. You love the Swan.
In that place, you know that place is hurting because they got no conventions.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, that's a convention hotel, so they have none of that going on. Plus, Disney's dropping their short, so all the cheerleaders, I'd rather stay at the All-Stars than the Swan and the Dolphin Pods.
I didn't even think of the convention stuff. I mean, Orlando, there's tons of convention hotels in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of places, obviously, but Orlando and Vegas are huge convention places, and they're just missing out. Although the degenerate gamblers are back. They'll go. As soon as they open, they were probably the 90-year-olds with their oxygen tanks rolling into the casinos ready to throw money at the slot machines.
You see those people? You never go to the casino, do you?
No, I haven't been in 10 years at least. But, yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, when I worked at Lincoln Greyhound Park, it was like as soon as we opened at 9, and this was back when you can smoke in these places, they're coming in with the heaters. And then they're going around touching all the screens to see, because at midnight, everything would shut down.
Oh, okay.
So you could be like two plays away from the bonus. So now they're hitting the screens to see who was close to bonus, and they'd sit down, throw the dollars in. It was pretty sad to watch. That was a depressing job.
Yeah, I bet. And those are the people that were there at midnight that got kicked out, and they'd come back the next thing.
They probably just slept in their cars.
For the most part, yeah. What did you do? I didn't even know you worked there.
Yeah, I worked for G-Tech.
Oh, okay. So you would have to go and do that.
So, like, I service like the slot machines, because you couldn't have, quote, gambling in Rhode Island. But as long as it was run by the Rhode Island State Lottery,
of course,
that was okay. Yeah. So all these slot machines were lottery run.
Mm-hmm.
So I just serviced those. It was a pretty good job. I did it in college, and Sundays time and a half, so I was making decent money. It was a good job, but
besides the depression,
yeah, it's just so depressing.
Like, yeah, so that's why I don't like it.
Yeah,
like every time you see it, like a casino in a movie, it's all like people wearing suits and like good looking women. Then you go to the casino, it's all 90-year-old people that are like slouched over the machine, smoke everywhere. It's very different,
and they're all cheaters. So like they would only play two lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then when the thing went, when the game was over, they would select the other lines. Yeah. So it made it look like they played those lines.
Oh, you could
follow
do that?
What I'm saying?
I didn't know you could even do that. They like game the system.
Well, they tried to. Yeah. So like you would have a dot. You would have a dot on these two lines. Okay. So then when the thing spun, down below in row five, it was like, it was jackpot. So then they would click that line. So then you'd have to go in and go into game history. Right. Explain to them, hey, the previous game, you only bet these two lines. You didn't bet all five. And then they try getting into an argument with you. I mean, it was miserable.
Getting an argument. It's like, if the computer is telling me. What do you want me? Okay, here's $60,000. Sorry.
Oh, then, obviously the computer's lying.
Right, of course.
So I care if you come here again. Like, this is my empire where I'm making $10 million a month. You're like, buddy,
listen, they're paying me $9.25 an hour. You can come back.
Yeah, I care if you come back or not.
you may not have been making that much back then. Who knows?
But I mean, it's like, you know, if you're constantly getting screwed, why are you here 6 days a week?
Yeah, exactly. Trying to cheat. I wouldn't even think to try to cheat like a computerized slot machine. I
kind of hard to do.
That's hard to do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not easy.
That's messed up. Anyway, I guess that's going to do it for this week's episode. I don't have anything else to add. You know where you can find us online at WDWBTG.com, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those places. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates. You can watch our episodes or see the other videos that we have going up. Some more Vero Beach in the future, I would imagine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's good. Very nice. You got a walk around you did, correct?
I got a couple walk arounds. I got a
I'm excited to
you.
See that
because drive out there.
I've never watched a Vero walk around, so I don't know anything about it, like the layout or anything. I'd be very interested to see some of that.
That is an intriguing place, isn't it? Like after you've done a 7 day stay at the in the bubble.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to have a 2 week vacation where like 4 of the days is down there.
Just mini golf and relaxing.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Anyway, so we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at WDWBTG. You can email the show info@WDWBTG.com, Gary@WDWBTG.com, and Mike@WDWBTG.com. Did I miss anything? I feel like I went too quick this time.
You got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
I said YouTube. That. Said YouTube.
How about a store?
Oh, yes. You can go to tpublic.com/user/WDWBTG. Go to our store if you want any of our merchandise.
Do we have any new products or no?
That's a negative. I should get some feelers out there. I didn't have any ideas.
We have some masks though, don't we?
You can get masks, I suppose, if you want to wear. We should get our pictures on it. Just have like our faces.
That would be so dumb, wouldn't it?
Yeah, very dumb.
So like some chick's wearing a mask and it's actually you?
Yeah.
I wonder if we could do that. That's really stupid. Oh, we really could definitely stupid. Do that.
That's very dumb, isn't it?
And like I would wear you and you could wear me.
I don't think I would do that.
That's so dumb. I'll wear you in the public.
I'm sure you would in the public, yeah. Put the mask on. Who's that on your mask? Don't worry about it. It's my podcast partner, Billy.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Beware the dog.
Oh, that's going to do it. All right, we're done. This is episode number 339. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 339 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. For my co-host, Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
Hey.